Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Laura's just confirming that we're not sitting together on the flights to Chicago or Salt Lake.
I've told Carrie, I was like...
And back.
I've told him, like, jokingly, I was like, is this tour cursed? And then he just told me, like, you can't say that to me because I'm actually too afraid of flying.
You can't. And I'm an Irish matron of death.
You're truly,
it's
like...
in my genes.
Irish peasant.
I'm an Irish witch.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know that, but then it all... That actually does track and make sense. And then he was like, I'm actually desperately afraid of flying. You'll see when we are on the planes. Are we sitting next to each other? And I go, no.
And then I said, good for you.
I'm not...
It's a... Laura... Laura's like... Mommy's sitting in the front.
Yeah, I was I'm gonna get some extra leg room going, and like
I'm like in the back, like
you're welcome.
I'm like Annie Mumolo and Bridesmaids, being like, "There's."
Did you feel that?
I had a dream about we were going down. You were in it.
Yeah, like you're welcome to join me.
No,
at my like chill level with leg room and like vibing, but I'm also like
no, go
very
vibe alone.
Cognizant of the fact I have not flown since January 2020,
right?
And I'm also cognizant of the fact that we have to like be masked up at all times and like snacks, like who knows, like I don't even know what the landscape is, so
I
know it's gonna be stressful. So if you can't join me and like get zen in an exit row, then you're gonna have to be on your own.
Yeah, the mask thing is annoying. They barely give you food, just giving you a heads up.
Yeah.
And I'm fine when we're in the air, but it's takeoff and touchdown, like, all bets are off for me.
I think if you can just get up in the air, it's fine.
As soon as I see the flight attendants unbuckle and go, like, gather there, I'm like, okay, we're good. But it's, because I've been in some horrific takeoffs. Like, I'm traumatized coming back from Hawaii a few years ago. As we were taking off, the flight attendants... This one flight attendant, he started, this, like, nice gay man started, like, listing off facts about Hawaii as the plane was taking off.
Oh, so he was trying to distract everyone.
And then he went, and by the way, this is going to be a very, very bumpy flight, so we're expecting turbulence the entire time. And I was, like, and I was sitting next to a flight attendant who was, like, doing a, what do they call that? When they, like, fly a plane, deadheading. And she was like getting wasted. And I kept being like, is this okay? And she was like, yeah, it's fine.
I'm sure she loved that. She like did. Off the clock, finally, yeah. Only to sit next
she
to you.
She went, she like knew the flight attendants and like, she like got out of the seat at one point and was just like chilling with them and drinking.
She's like, get me away.
But it was really bumpy. That was a bumpy flight. We were flying in the dead of night over the Pacific and they actually had to go a different route because the turbulence was so bad.
Yeah, that's traumatizing.
And everyone around me was also looking at each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, this is fucked.
The good news is we're flying like short distances. But you stay in your zone, I'll stay in mine. And then we'll reunite on the other side.
We'll reunite in...
It's good to have, like, just a little space to do our own things. Yeah.
And watch movies. I'll look out the window if it's a window seat. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, like, I like... And that's also, like, I like a window seat, but then in order to sit next to me, that means someone has to sit in the middle. So, and I don't want to put anyone in a middle seat position. Like, that's not true friendship. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
So,
no, I think you did the right thing. When Simon sits next to me, his arm is like, has my handprint on it. So,
I'm trying to like, you don't want to deal with that. I'm trying to get on the iPad or just do my thing.
Yeah. But we're really excited.
We're so excited. I feel like we've sold two more tickets to SLC.
We have, and someone else confirmed they were coming today.
Someone's flying in from South Dakota.
What?
Yeah.
Shout out to the person flying in from South Dakota.
Yeah, it's amazing. A lot of people are saying, I want to take off of work and go fly out, to which I say,
hell yeah.
Do it. Call in a sick day.
Summer
sick
Friday.
Sick note. Burn notice. Or just quit your job altogether.
Yeah, just use it as an excuse to be like, hey, I really want to go to this podcast, and I quit.
Mm-hmm. And if everyone did that at the same time, then it could maybe go viral, and then we'd have a sold-out show.
Podcast inspires mass...
Exodus from the workforce.
Not COVID, our podcast.
Yeah.
We are, like...
Then Sexy Unique Podcast can become the true pandemic. That it was always meant to be.
Speaking of Utah, this is a dark turn, but okay. I'm like kind of obsessed with this story that's coming out of Moab. Have you heard about this?
Oh yeah, the girl who's missing, van life girl who went missing.
She's a van life influencer, and she and her boyfriend were like traveling for 6 months together, which is like a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm. Were they in a new relationship?
I think they've been together for like a year.
Were
too soon to be doing. Across country. I'm telling you, COVID made everyone like, we can do this. Let's pick up and go. Like,
it made that kind me of thing. Be like, Shane Halls, you're truly on your own. And now it's time to get pioneer about things.
Yeah.
Like, or it made you be like, I'm in love with this person. I love them so much. Like, we're together and it's amazing. And I love him and he's mine forever and ever and ever.
Her name's Gabby something. And so now there's like a nationwide manhunt for her.
It's Gabby like Pietro or something. Yeah.
Her boyfriend drove back to Florida in the van and like didn't report her missing until like 10 days later.
And then her mom reported her missing on September 11th. Bad synergy.
And his parents are like refusing to let him talk to anyone. Like it seems like they're covering up for him. But then I read there was a domestic dispute a few days before she went missing in this co-op like van compound in Moab. So it's like very hippy dippy shit. And she was hitting him
in the arm
and slapping him in the face. And then he like ran into the van and locked the door. And she was trying to get in and like climbing through the window.
And then a cop came.
And I think they were both having like, they both have like anxiety or something or depression.
Yeah. She said that she was having like mental health problems she was hitting him in the arm because she saw like the cop lights and like wanted him to pay attention, but still any sort of domestic dispute prior to a disappearance, it ain't good.
But here's the, now this is where it gets weird.
Okay. Tell me.
A few days before that situation, mm-hmm. before she went missing, a couple in the same co-op, another van life couple, were murdered together.
Oh.
And they were complaining about a creepy guy that was like wandering around the co-op. And, like, giving them, being, like, a pest, kind of. And they were both found murdered. And then, now she's murdered. So, it's, like, either there's a serial killer in Moab, and this guy's innocent, and he just, like, freaked out and was, like, they're gonna blame me, because something, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or he killed her at the same time of this, like, active vagrant killer.
Interesting.
So, like, there's some weird shit going on.
Yeah.
And I just, anytime there's like an influencer kind of thing going on, I'm like instantly fascinated.
Definitely.
Because van life influencers are...
They're starting.
They're not, I am not from the same cloth.
Love the idea of like a van life. Like I would love nothing more than to like take to the road and never look back.
What are they called, jet streamers? Those like nice trailers.
Oh, the Airstream.
Airstreamers.
Like the, yeah, there's all sorts of different people. There's like the elderly RV crowd that they go around. There's like van life, younger people. I don't know. Like being on the road with Tones would be great. Being on the road with some guy like farting in the car and like being annoying, he'd go missing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
it's also extremely weird that, like, if I was traveling with someone and they died and we were in their car, I don't think I would drive their car all the way back home and then just show, like, leave it somewhere because I think it got, like, impounded.
Yeah, I mean,
it's bizarre. That's bizarre. Yeah. That's like guilty behavior.
No, I mean, Occam's razor, right, is like the most obvious thing is the likely thing, right? Mm-hmm.
So,
like,
I don't know.
I think he most likely is the one that killed her.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that do get killed by randos in these types of communities because, like, I've only been to Slab City, but everyone there, which is a desert community off the grid near the kind of Salton Sea, Joshua Tree, Holy Mountain, and it is one of the scariest places I've ever been,
right.
And truly, like, you could go there and easily pass away
or go missing.
Yeah, like it's basically made for people who like are really ready to go missing.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, there's like this whole, like, obviously this, there's like a whole conspiracy kind of thing about like people going missing in national parks. Mm-hmm. So like it just makes it all for very like salacious. And of course it's like a white, pretty white girl going missing.
Yeah, so it's, people care more.
People care more, you know, because our country is like that. But
we still haven't found out about that couple. They think it could be an algae bloom.
What the
they
fuck?
Were like, we're looking to see if they were struck by lightning. But I'm like, wouldn't
what?
You know that?
And the dog?
I don't know. It's so like, bizarre. And
Angelina
I feel like
Angelina Jolie in the fire movie.
Yeah. Well, I guess like they're like, we just watched this movie with Angelina Jolie and she was struck by lightning multiple times and seemed fine.
Yeah.
So like it could be that they were just struck by lightning, but you can't tell at all. Like it's, I feel like we need to get back into this conversation about these people because
that's scary as fuck.
I'm just like, tell me what fucking happened. Like I feel like
it just went away. The story, like everything in the
but
news.
But everything just goes away eventually. But we need to actually talk about something extremely way more important than any of this. And that's the movie Malignant.
Laura, because I'm so happy you watched it. I feel like everyone needs to get, I'm just seeing more and more people posting about it being like, holy shit, this movie. I was in a meeting yesterday and the person was like, one of the people that we were meeting with was like, I loved it. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's sweeping the globe.
It's a real,
yeah.
It's a viral moment.
It's a viral moment.
I took myself to the movies yesterday, saw it in theater.
Where?
At the Grove.
Hell yeah.
And
thank God it's still open. It's not closing.
I know. AMC, I guess, congratulations. You're the real winner of COVID.
They are.
Because
Nicole Kidman.
Took over. Nicole Kidman. Yeah, she intros every AMC movie now. Just walking in with an uncanny valley face and an accent that goes in between Australian, but then she does say like one line in English, like in American English accent, and I'm like, what are you doing here?
Well, fun fact, people don't realize this, she was born in America and moved to Australia.
When did she move to Australia?
As a baby.
Oh, okay.
Just saying, she was born in Hawaii.
Whoa.
Right? I was shocked. Keep going.
That is shocking. So Nicole ushers you into a world of AMC, and then I saw Malignant, and it was wild. But is this the new, okay, Malignant spoilers ahead, like we're just gonna talk about
yeah,
it
spoilers,
so just
fast forward
like 15 minutes, like you figure it out. Is this a new era of films that we're just ushering in?
Yeah, I think so,
because I guess I'm down
for body horror. I'm down for
just like just truly bad movies.
Yeah, but like also really good.
But it's like, is this a style? Because like the acting was kind of bad.
I think
and
it
like
was
the
a choice.
Writing, like the writing, and there's certain like story elements that make no sense that, or like details thrown in that don't matter at all.
I think it was a choice. I mean, he's done some good, like decent horror movies. Like The Conjuring is good. The Insidious with Rose Byrne and Patrick Wilson was really good. Like I think he's a very like talented writer filmmaker. So I think it was like, I do think it was intentional.
He's made like, I think good is a generous term.
I think
he's made like genre blockbuster, had a series of blockbuster successes.
He's a good B movie guy.
Yeah. That make a shit ton of money. So I guess like after you get to a certain point, people are like, he's at the point where like executives are like, you just do whatever you want.
But I thought it was like kind of camp, like a little like Argento, like very like, you know, kind of histrionics, like exaggerated react. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I liked the music was like really like exaggerated and like intense. You know what I mean? I just thought it was like very singular. And I don't know. I thought it was a special movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, it's not good, but I think they wanted it. I really think it was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to just make a fucking bonkers horror movie that's almost like John Wick.
Yeah, like it was like just wild.
It's
a wild ride.
I loved the ACAB message at the end.
Oh, yeah. I mean, truly malignant. Gabriel is a cop killer icon.
Yeah. Like, literally.
Well, I mean, that's also just like in the culture right now, the best thing you could possibly probably do in a movie is just have a scene where, like,
you kill
a
60
crazy
cops.
Monster just murders 60 cops at once.
Like, Matrix level martial arts, and just like, we're to believe this.
But spares like the two cops that are furthering any sort of storyline.
Yeah, but that's, it was amazing. Like, we're to believe this parasitic twin who is literally basically only like a sentient brain
that can emerge whenever it sees fit and fully take over the back half of this woman's body,
yeah,
like a little disgusting alien,
yeah,
with long stringy hair who has a penchant for like leather
coats.
Swing coats
and
it has
gloves.
A real Nicole Kidman taste in long duster coats.
But we're to believe that in the last like 35 years of its life, this thing has mastered martial arts and like
it's always been able to channel and broadcast.
And broadcast over the radio waves.
How come it can broadcast, but she can't broadcast anything?
But she can hear his thoughts.
But she can't do martial arts. She can't broadcast.
No.
She might be actually the fail twin out of the two.
She's the parasitic.
He's like actually pretty cool and just misunderstood because he was so ugly.
I think Gabriel.
Justice for Gabriel, honestly.
I'd watch a whole like assassin series where it's like the government uses her as a weapon,
mm-hmm,
and she just channels Gabriel to go in and like take out like militias.
Gabriel's
an instant
can't
classic.
Be stopped.
Gabriel's a that I have to say though, that prison scene felt like kind of a new classic.
That was a classic. I had chills during that.
As soon as she sits down and she's looking at it, I was like, what's going to happen? Like, I was like immediately fearing for all these women. They were all like instantly iconic.
Mm-hmm.
The one woman with the blonde hair who was like the leader and she just kept throwing people at her. Like, that was fucking incredible. It was amazing.
Yeah, and the effects were really good. I feel like there were like practical effects involved.
Yeah,
and I really appreciate a practical effect as opposed to like CGI.
Yeah, it felt like 80s. It was just like, but that, the whole movie could have just been that jail sequence. I don't know. I have chills thinking about it now.
The jail sequence was amazing. I have a lot of questions about a lot of characters in that movie. Like, one of my biggest questions was, like, why does this woman and her husband, why do they live in this like Victorian house with all this Victorian furniture? Like, did they choose? It didn't seem like that's the house that those two would choose to live in and then decorate that way.
Also, did she have an inheritance? Like, how does she afford this like five-story Victorian mansion on like, she's like a
nurse?
Radiologist.
Yeah, a radiologist. She was a nurse.
Yeah. I mean, nurses are, no, like they make good money and have benefits, but like this was a house that you needed like,
no, and their furniture, they're like, they were like antique lovers and yeah. then had like all this furniture, and it just seemed like neither of them would be into that kind of decor or vibe.
Yeah, what did he do? What was his job?
We'll never know.
He just beats her?
Just beats her. And then her mom, I don't think she has an inheritance because her mom seemed to be living in like a shanty on the outskirts of town. Like her mom was like a hoarder.
And her sister was
like a hoarder in a wheelchair-bound hoarder who loves to make casseroles.
And her sister was like a struggling Seattle actress, thespian. Like,
why all these choices?
I don't
Is
know.
It going to come back? Like, are why they setting Seattle? Us up for a franchise?
I hope so. Why Seattle?
Again, I don't know.
And is she going to be implicated in this massacre?
Yeah, isn't she guilty then of killing?
I mean, no,
hundreds of people.
But she's not. It literally wasn't her.
But is everyone just gonna be like, "We forgive you"?
No, even the skeptical. I think she was even won over.
But it's like, you bet. Well, hopefully Gabriel doesn't come back.
Well, that's maybe that'll be like the
second one.
Yeah.
I also love her mom that they found. Okay, so the backstory, if you're never gonna see it and you haven't skipped, the backstory is like this woman is pregnant, and then her husband like beats her up,
hits her over,
knocks her head against the wall. She's bleeding for days.
I know,
and doesn't see fit to like. She doesn't really try and do much about it. Then this entity comes and starts killing people, and she sees every time it's killing someone, she like sees it all happen like crystal mm-hmm. clear, and it turns out that this entity is actually her parasitic twin that can crawl out of her head and then just take over her whole body and mass murder.
It like inverts all her limbs and comes out of, literally opens her skull.
And her so skull she walks like backwards. It throws a duster coat on, finds a sword, and then just starts walking around backwards, wreaking havoc on the community. It turns out that she was adopted at age 8 and remembers nothing prior to that. And then she was given up by her birth mother because she like was raped.
Like 15.
She was raped and then couldn't take care of the baby, so she gave it to a research center, I guess, because she knew that it was a parasitic twin.
Well, yeah, I mean, it
which
was like
does happen.
Yeah, and it was like you could see it
in utero.
Well, no, also when she was a girl before they did that surgery, it was like visible.
Yeah,
like she was, it was like
she had like a little alien,
yeah, like a little like on the back of her, literal on her back, but it has super strength.
It was always screaming and busting light bulbs, and
it has psychic abilities, it has super strength, it has the nimbleness of and mobility of like a CIA operative, and can just kill you in a second.
It will
just
break your arm right in half.
Yeah, so it uses her to like, and it's getting revenge on the people that did research on it, which is like, that was stupid. But then it was woken up by
the abuse,
the head trauma.
But then we find out that the main character, Madison, has had like a bunch of miscarriages, and it's because Gabriel is just eating her baby, like feeding off of her babies.
At first I thought it was the husband that like he kept punching her,
mm-hmm.
which I was like, okay, that's fucked up. But then when they were like, your baby's been slurped up by Gabriel. Every time you have a fetus and you get slurped up.
So they like find the birth mother. Also, this, her mom just adopted a random kid and from a research center.
Yeah. So then her whole childhood, she had this imaginary friend in quotes named Gabriel who like compelled her to do weird things. There was one moment that he tried to get her to kill her unborn adopted sister, who's like played by this girl that's helping her through the whole thing.
Gabriel has a lot of jealousy issues.
Yeah, he's very territorial of his twin.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a romp. I was laughing hysterically at some points.
I was laughing.
It's just like a fun. It's like it's John Wick at the end.
I've never even seen John Wick.
John Wick is like Keanu just literally killing like 100 people in a movie. Okay. And it's nonstop killing and it's amazing.
I'm here for that.
Watch John Wick tonight. He's so hot in it and he's doing it to avenge his dog. So, you.
It's like Nicolas Cage and Pig.
Yeah,
king.
It's pre-Pig.
Pre-Pig, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a great movie and I hope...
We all have a little Gabriel in us.
We all have a parasitic twin.
Is the takeaway.
Yeah.
Is that when I have gotten pushed to a place of Gabriel a lot recently, but then really seeing Gabriel embodied, I was like, oh, that's just me.
Yeah.
On a bad day.
It's a real, it continues in the tradition of like twins being viewed as like psychic and you know what I mean? I feel like movies love twins.
They love a twin. Parasitic twins are a creepy and wild thing that can happen.
Like I turned to Simon and was like, how does this make you feel as a twin? And he was
how did he feel?
He was like, I love it.
He's like, it's true. It's all true. Justice for Gabriel. Justice misunderstood for Gabriel. Angel.
He was a dark angel.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just wanted his mom's love and his sister, his twin, to like accept him.
He just wanted love at the end of the day. And no one gave him that. Everyone from the jump just assumed because he's a little alien looking, he doesn't look like you or I.
Yeah.
That he is not as like able-bodied as us, that he's just the devil.
But he's perfectly able.
But he's actually like has more abilities than anyone.
He's
and
a superior
Madison
being.
Is actually pretty dull and a bit of a dum-dum at the end of the day.
Madison's a flop with bangs.
Yeah, I don't understand. She did have power hair and cheekbones.
Yeah, she had.
But she wasn't really bringing much else to the table, and it was really taking her a long time to put together things that any other person would have really put together quickly.
When the woman fell through the ceiling, I was like, okay, I love this movie. That's when I was like, this movie is going somewhere, and I'm obsessed with it.
Wait, the last shot in the movie where, like, Madison and her sister are hugging on the hospital floor, and then it pans out, and the mom is just laying in the bed, and she's smiling. She goes,
no.
I was like, what is wrong with
I was like, I'm
people?
Her. I'm the mom. Watching people, like, reunite.
Oh my God, Carrie.
What?
Did you hear what I'm doing this fall?
No.
I'm taking Sex Unique Podcast on tour.
Wait a minute. I'm doing that too.
I know.
We're going on tour.
We're going on fucking tour. Tickets are going fast. In fact, one of the Chicago shows sold the fuck out.
You're kidding me.
Well, we added a second.
Oh, God.
Head to LarsMarie.com to purchase tickets.
That's LarsMarie.com to get yours now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. I like actually want Gabriel to, he needs to come out and then harness his energy for good.
There has to be a sequel. That's what all his movies are, like franchises.
Yeah.
So there'll be like a Malignant 2. I want them to battle another pair of even worse parasitic twins. And Gabriel has to be used as like a weapon, like a Suicide Squad type situation where they're like, we need Gabriel.
Yeah.
Send him in.
You need someone like Gabriel around.
But listen.
And it's really, honestly,
I
don't blame him for being so angry.
Listen, Gabriel killed his twin's abuser, got rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
He killed a bunch of cops. Like, he killed some prisoners, which maybe wasn't good. But
he killed a lot of female prisoners.
A lot of female prisoners.
Many of whom were seeming like they might have been sex workers. So that's a point off. That's a con.
Yeah, that
of
was
Gabriel's
like,
kills.
That made me uncomfortable. And that was like, they don't deserve this. Mm-hmm. Save it for the real
they
villains.
Had to go.
But they had to go.
Who else did he kill? He killed some doctors.
But
some,
they deserved
some
it.
Some shady doctors.
Yeah, it was like V for Vendetta. Like, not, these people that got killed were not,
you
like,
have to break a few eggs to make an omelet.
He did try to kill her sister, which wasn't good.
But I understand where that motivation came from.
Because she was kind of annoying.
And he was jealous. She replaced him.
He didn't kill his mom.
No.
He just strung her up.
Because she said, I love you, and no, but, I'm sorry.
But in the beginning, like, he just kind of, like a spider, he kept her chained to the ceiling. He was waiting. It also made me realize that there's an underground Seattle, which I need to see. It's cool.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either.
But anyway, just watch it. Let us know what you think, and our new podcast coming out is just Malignant.
It's just, this is Malignant Hour.
It is. Thank you to Gabriel. He will be our guest in LA.
What if, like, I unveiled my own parasitic Gabriel on stage at LA? But instead of murdering you, he murders you with lols. It's like even funnier.
Gabriel becomes like a
a stand-up comic.
A, like, nationally beloved stand-up who has, like, specials on every streaming platform and a new show, like, every year.
And I'm just in the back of his head fuguing.
Yeah.
I'm just like this. Scarecrow. While Gabriel takes over and he gets to use my hair and my body.
I was, you know, I always wanted...
I knew it was her, though.
I didn't.
That hair, I was like, there's two people with power hair in this movie, and it's you and then this other entity.
Gabriel had, like, Yanni hair.
Gabriel needed, like, a goop scalp scrub.
I want to see Gabriel, like, get a makeover.
I think, honestly...
I want to see Gabriel, like, hit the stores and, like... go to Nordstrom and
Gabriel just needs a blowout.
Gabriel loves women's clothes.
He has interesting style.
he's in the vanguard.
He has like an own unique spin on fashion. All he needs is a blowout, a double shampoo condition with a blowout. I think that with all the plastic surgery that is available today, we could get some really good
microdermabrasion.
Yeah, or just like a tightening or maybe like a layer of skin just so he's not so exposed. I mean, I think he's probably mad because his raw skin is just exposed. That would make me murderous as well.
Yes, he needs some epidermis. Stat.
I think we could do a face transplant on Gabriel because those are really popping off lately. And they seem to work out fairly well for people that get them. So I think we put Gabriel on the face transplant list. And I feel like he'll feel a lot better about himself.
And get him some heels.
Like a boot with a little platform boot?
Yeah. Little pirate boot.
He's so nimble.
He's
could be, honestly, put him on Team USA in the gymnastics. He could protect... You know what? We need a Gabriel in there.
I want Gabriel
to protect all the other girls, but then also bring home the gold.
I want Gabriel to be like a fashion it girl. I want to see Gabriel like hobnobbing with like, you know, all the New York elite, like the New York power.
I want Gabriel to be the Met Gala.
Gabriel in Times Square. Gabriel like has his podcast. Like I want Gabriel to be an it person. An it entity, and you just see photos of like him and like, you know,
on the red carpet, at his movie premiere. I want him to have a directorial debut.
Him with the cast of Euphoria, and Hunter Schafer, like front row at some fashion event, like icons.
Gabriel's avant-garde. I want him to take to the runway.
Yeah,
like anyway. At a Rick Owens show.
Yes, he's the face of Rick Owens. Gabriel's the new face of YSL.
Gabriel for Balenciaga. I'm inspired by that.
He becomes like Hedy's new boy, new face. And it's just Gabriel.
It's Gabriel for Celine.
Yeah.
Celine Ohm. And he's like. But it's actually cool.
I know.
Let's make really, really hideously ugly and disfigured, deeply attractive and cool.
Let's make
monstrously hideous,
monstrous,
inhuman, ungodly hideousness
entities
the most fuckable thing. I kind of want to fuck Gabriel.
Gabriel's
for the story.
Pan.
Oh, but he doesn't have a.
He might.
Yeah, we just never really let him.
We never know.
I want him to come out fully.
Of her.
Of her.
No, I want it to be always like her in the back.
But, like, no, I mean, like, come out and have, like, his own little body. Because he had his own little tiny bod before they...
No, I want him always to be in her.
You want him head only?
Yeah, I want him always to be, like...
How do you have sex with gay... You just can't.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
He's, like... But is her... I mean, I guess he could use her vagina. But, like...
It's a whole... You know what?
Things to explore.
And
what's a sapiosexual?
He
just really connects with you mind to mind.
He connects with people on an intellectual level and he's post-sex.
I would like have mind sex with Gabriel.
Yeah, he gets into your head.
You cone head. It's like cone head style sex.
The way Gabriel fucks is like literally doming your brain.
Oh, that sounds fun.
And like, yeah, it's safe. You might, it's like Hellraiser. It's
safe sex.
The safest form of sex is having mind sex with Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
The pair is all
It's truly risk-free.
Oh, while Madison's in the back.
While Madison's in the back flopping around with her eyes rolled back in
Madison
her head.
Madison gets jealous. Mm-hmm. She's like, God damn it. Like this.
Her to become the bad guy and Gabriel to become the good guy.
So Madison takes matters into her own hand, tries to kill Gabriel, tries to get a lobotomy.
Yeah. Because she actually is pretty villainous if you think about it.
Yeah.
What's more important? A entity with psychic abilities, powers, brute strength.
Duster coats.
Duster coats.
And
electricity
gloves.
Capabilities, gloves, and a shiny gold sword and a platform boot. Or some nurse that is always taking off work and can't remember anything and crying all the time and
who's the real flop?
Not putting A, B, and C together.
They made the wrong decision, I'll just have to say.
I know.
The doctors made the wrong decision with that one.
Like, do the math, doctors.
Gabriel's the real superior being.
I wonder why this guy is getting so mad because he's attached to this like flop of a girl who's cute, but beyond that is really not that smart.
She's good. She's a good jaw.
She's great bone structure.
That's about it. Great hair.
I love in the movie when they're like, can you age this up? As if they don't know who that young girl is.
Yeah.
One of the detectives has a file with a photo of a young girl that looks exactly like the main character.
I know.
And he's like, and who's this girl? I have no idea. You got to age this up. Please do it so we can finally figure out who it is. I was like,
it's like the Nathan For You age enhancer guy.
It literally looks exactly like
her. I know.
Anyways, iconic movie. Thank you for listening to The Malignant
40
Hour.
Minutes.
Well, it's okay because this episode, we'll get it. Okay.
What? I'm Carrie. Am I hurrying us?
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to
Sexy
Unique
Podcast
Beverly
Hells Angels. Let's go.
Laura? Laura's in the zone today.
Who's Laura?
Lara.
Lara?
Lara. Lara's in the zone today.
I'm starting today.
Laura.
Laura.
Lorraine.
Someone posted a meme that was like, these are all the angriest girls. And it was like a name of like every white girl ever. But guess what wasn't on there?
Laura. Nice.
Missed me.
Who was number one?
Laura and Lauren were on there. It was just an alphabetical list of female names.
Well, speaking of Dorit, name misspellings, name pronunciations. Mm-hmm. I just pulled a Kathy Hilton. I just wrote Kyle's House of Dogs.
So many dogs. So much Encino energy.
Dorit sends a British bloke to deliver invites to her bridal line launch party at her home.
Yeah, her henchman arrives to deliver mirrored tablets a la the Ten Commandments.
He's hot.
Each house. Yeah, I was into him. I'm sad we never got to see him again.
Garcelle was like kind of taken aback a little by him.
She was like, wow.
Yeah.
Who was he?
I don't know.
Was he just like a hired hand day?
Yeah.
He had nothing to do with...
He was probably like a model.
Nectaria.
Yeah, so Dorit has her party planner over Nick. Mm-hmm. Lots of Nick. He looks like James Spader in the 1980s.
He's trying to plan her launch party, but, you know, it's winter in LA and it's a rainy week, so they've got to come up with a plan B.
Mm-hmm.
But Dorit is not so pressed because this isn't her first rodeo when it comes to fashion shows and party planning.
Yeah. Nectaria Skypes in with them or Zooms in with them.
Who is Nectaria? This is the first time I really understood her name and her role in this partnership.
She's a literal Nectaria. That was Dorit Nectaria.
Kept thinking it was necromance.
Yeah, it was very like, it was like the show Raised by Wolves when she like levitates. Do you remember that?
No.
She was very like, yeah,
Mithraic. She's just like the Wizard of Oz.
It was like Battlestar Galactica name. Nectaria, mm-hmm. Cylon.
It's sci-fi.
Yeah.
Where does she live? Why isn't she there?
I just wrote, who are these people?
Who are you?
So Dorit's doing a wedding theme party, which I think is kind of cool.
The
party looked amazing.
I was more into the whole vibe once I saw the presentation. I think I judged a little too soon.
Me too. I judged too soon.
And got a little too harsh.
Me too. As some people pointed out on TikTok.
Yeah. My final takeaway is that, like, hats off to Dorit. She did that.
The gowns are pretty.
And they're pretty.
They're very pretty and fitting. And they're very, like, anyone can wear them. I think it was cool.
They're gorgeous. And I love a $35,000 price point.
And I love the way they were presented. And it was very, I don't know. Dorit kind of.
She surprised me.
She charmed me in this episode. And I was like, actually was like, she's a good designer.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Talent. I wrote, Moses is shook by these mirrored slab invitations.
I know. They are like, they're very like Minority Report tablet.
Mm-hmm. Kathy has Kyle and Rinna
and Erica
over to her house for a spa day.
Kyle walks in and she says hi to Kathy's dog, Sue. And Kathy goes, we can really communicate. Listen. And she gets down on the floor and goes, oh, and then Sue howls.
Kathy lying down on the floor and letting Sue walk all over her is legit me and Tony.
Yeah. Also, did you see Kathy invited to Rihanna's party and Rihanna was just like flanking her the whole night?
Mm-hmm. Queen shit.
Rihanna knows.
She knows what's up. Kathy's hired a Reiki master facialist to the stars to come and energy work and lay some Kraft cheese singles on everyone's face.
Yeah, she's this Russian lady. She's very like Masha and Nine Perfect Strangers. And she's performed Reiki on every mask.
Yeah. So, I love that.
Yeah, it looked,
An added element. It seems like it would be a very soothing affair.
So Kathy and Rinna are the first to hit the beds, and they get the cheese.
They get cheese slabbed.
Mm-hmm. And then Eric and Kyle go, and Erica's looks like she's wearing
too much makeup to get a facial.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the biggest candle I've ever seen.
Kathy.
Betwixt the two facial beds.
Yeah.
Did you notice that candle?
It was a cauldron candle.
It had how many wicks? Maybe it was like a 7-wick candle. It had to have weighed at least 50 pounds.
That's going to last Kathy 2 years.
I need way more information because I consider myself to be a connoisseur.
You are.
But I have never seen a candle this big.
No, it was.
Who makes it? What's the scent?
It was like.
I have so many questions. Someone has got to know. Please answer me.
It was not of this earth. Erica is like, Kyle asks Kathy if she can go eat a carrot. And then the Reiki master demands Kathy to say, I honor my intention while being facialed. And Kathy's like, no, I'm not going to. But will let out moans of ecstasy.
Fair. She has boundaries.
And Kathy's kind of like, whenever someone starts talking to me about this woo-woo stuff, I sort of just tune out.
She's not interested.
But her third eye is always open.
It's ever open.
Yeah. It's like Gabriel.
Gabriel is her third eye. It's just a spiritual Gabriel.
Kyle's like, Erica, how are you doing? And she's like, well, not good, Kyle. She goes, Tom's house was broken into, and then Tom confronted the burglar and then had to go have eye surgery. And then my son went to go help, and then his car rolled over 5 times.
So yeah, I've been going through a lot.
And Kyle's just like,
She sends Kyle to a place of Gabriel.
Kyle, this was the first time where Kyle was like saying it out loud. Like, what are you saying? Like, Kyle was like, wait a minute. He had to go to the hospital for his eyes because he confronted the burglar. And then Erica goes, well, no, Kyle, he has glaucoma. I was like, wait, so did the robbery activate his glaucoma?
Which
I
know is a very... Did someone hit him in the eye? What does the burglary have to do with anything?
And then
she goes, when does this happen? And Erica goes, Sunday? Yeah. I was like, bitch, what fucking day did it happen?
Is it that, like, you know...
She goes, so you knew all of this when you came to Garcelle's? And she's like, yes.
Yes. Her son's car rolled over 5 times?
Erica could be Gabriel.
Erica?
I'm just saying a lot of things happen.
I've never... This kind of lying is like... You need to go to hospital.
So like, many cars have rolled off of cliffs.
Glaucoma, burglar, home invasion plus glaucoma equals son rolling his car over 5 times.
Also, if Tom is so demented.
How did he know to confront the burglar?
Why is he being left home alone in a mansion?
Well, Tom's house was broken into, and then Tom confronted the burglar and then had to go have eye surgery. And then my son had to go help, and then my son's car rolled over 5 times.
She goes, well, he rolled his car over because it was snowing when he drove back. And Kyle goes, snowing? Doesn't he live in Pasadena? And she goes, a little further north. It doesn't snow anywhere around here.
Yeah, he lives a little further out. I'm like, where, in Big Bear?
Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, if he does live in the mountains, it does snow up there in the winter. Well, yeah, but like, it's what?
Are you asking? I don't understand. Yeah.
Well, it was snowing that night, and Kyle's like,
what?
Wait, that was a great question. Does it snow a lot in Pasadena?
A little bit further.
I'm like, yeah, okay. So
Mitch,
where,
in the Grapevine?
Yeah.
Like, where does he live?
Does he live, like, in the Central Valley?
EJ Global, she really went full EJ Global with the spinning these yarns.
Mm-hmm. She goes,
just a couple days ago.
Maybe Sunday.
Maybe Sunday or Saturday.
That video.
What day? I like not knowing what day all these traumatic, life-changing events took place.
There's snow in Pasadena?
Well, it lives a little further out.
A little further.
I'm like... Does he live in Yellowstone? Does he live in Tahoe? Like, where the fuck does your son live? He's a cop in LA, I think.
I have so many questions. I think she's now taking the approach of, if I rapid fire confusingly lie to everyone, then they'll be so...
It's very Trump.
Unclear that they just won't ask questions because they don't even know where to begin.
It's very like Roy Cohn.
Yeah, it's a whole new tactic. We've gone from like cabaret and like comedy hour tactics to
literal
just
Narnia, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
It is the Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe.
Like, when I'm imagining her son driving, I'm imagining it like being that snowy world that like the witch rules over, and there's like pans running around, like the little like goat men running around. Like, where? It does not snow in LA, everyone.
No.
It does not snow in LA.
Erica's fully living in Pan's Labyrinth.
She's lying. So, because I know some people might be like, well, maybe it does snow in LA when it's really cold. No.
No.
It rains and there's fires.
There's not snow.
It rains, if at all. We have 3 days of rain a year.
You saw them on
this
episode. It made me miss the rainy winters because I was like, oh, I remember when it rained for 2 days last winter and then...
We don't have water in LA, in California.
Yeah.
So, just letting you know.
Curious.
Garcelle has this life coach.
Her dating coach comes over, Damona.
And helps her make her Bumble profile, which I was like, that's...
I was like, the struggle's real. I was literally making my Bumble profile an hour before I turned the show on to watch it. And
you
I was
Garcelle
like,
might
God,
be in the
Garcelle
same...
and I are in the same boat.
You guys might be friends.
I could see us being friends.
The one thing that made me, and I'm sorry that you had to answer this, but that prompt of I'm a nerd about, I was like, that's not okay.
Absolutely navigating all those prompts right before, and triggered by all the prompts. I answered one prompt, which was, if you could make three wishes, what would they be? And I said, I would want to be able to speak and understand every language that's ever existed. Mm-hmm. And then I would leave the other two open so I could just use them in the moment. I can't like lock them down ahead of time.
Those are good.
And then every other prompt made me slip further and further into suicidal ideation. So then I was like, well, I guess one prompt is enough. And then
I'm kind of a nerd.
Like,
what? Don't force a woman. Because Bumble's like the women, the men have to approach the women.
Yeah, but they have prompts for male profiles too. Like those are universal prompts that everyone can fill out on their profile. I'm kind of a nerd about.
Kind of. Okay, dating. I've been on dating apps. They're very weird and raw and vulnerable in general. So like don't add insult to injury by making people of any gender say, I'm kind of a nerd.
Kind of a nerd about ... I'm like I don't weird. Fucking know.
I'm like kind of crazy. It's like the girl with the peas on her head.
Everything that you could possibly answer to a prompt makes you sound either really basic or desperate. Just like a psycho, desperate, earnest, cringe psycho. Yeah. Like it was like, if you could only eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be? And my answer would have been pizza. And then I was like, I can't fucking say that because I'm not a fucking freak. And then every prompt was like, it was like that. Friend review. My friend's review of me. That is maybe a good one.
I love like these dating apps. Like they're like, we have specialists, therapists, like scientists, like coming up with the perfect algorithms to match people. It's like people literally being like, I love pizza.
No, I was like, bitch, everyone loves pizza. That's why it's pizza. Yeah.
Do you love music? Yes or no? It's like...
Live for music.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could pull up what the prompts are, but we're filming.
I was thinking the other day, there was something about dating, and I was remembering this Tinder conversation I had in New York that was just... I just went, hey, what's up? And the guy went, wildly busy. And I literally I was like, I'm going to go...
And taking my own life, you said.
Well,
that's the end.
I love wildly busy.
Wildly busy. Okay, awesome.
Go off. Go off, queen.
I'll leave you to it.
Yeah, what are you supposed to say to that?
I truly don't know.
Damn.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Garcelle... She's going to set, she calls like a specialist on Zoom.
A matchmaker.
A matchmaker who has a guy for Garcelle.
Named Keith, who's so fucking hot.
He's like daddy with abs and like beyond.
Stop like no need for Bumble.
No Bumble.
Matchmaker only.
Keith.
You meet. That's like all you got to do.
He was lizard brain hot.
Yeah.
Him.
I need to see IRL because some guys that look like that.
That's true.
IRL, you're like, you don't actually look like that.
Yeah, but I feel like if it's like a celebrity.
If it's a matchmaker service, like they're vetting and making sure.
Garcelle is horny for him.
Yeah, she's down.
She's like, I got to break in my new bed. I was like, hell yeah.
Crystal is Kyle over.
This also made me want to.
Did this make you fugue?
Leave this earth.
Yeah. Crystal had Kyle over, I guess, just to take her down to her basement and tell her that she's renovating it for $500,000.
At first, it was $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting in like a whole, it's basically like an apartment.
It's at 1,800 square feet, which I was like, well, what's that like to live in? What's that like to just have that exist in the bottom of your home?
Crystal goes, I'm very frugal, but Rob isn't. And I was like,
Seems like
you're both.
Neither of you are.
Yeah.
It's okay if that's the case.
I do love a furnished basement.
I mean, what's not to love? She's making it like an entertainment game room. She's putting in a golf simulator for Rob. And she goes, the golf simulator is really the most expensive thing. Rob's so tall that his swing hits the ceiling. We have to dig into the ground.
I was like,
spare me.
Spare me.
Also,
is he that tall?
A golf simulator? Like,
is he tall?
I don't know. They're digging into the ground. Originally, they were quoted $1 million, but Crystal said, please just let's do this for six figures. Like, I can't, I just simply can't. So now it's six figures. And then that was truly the only purpose of that scene.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start having people over and just showing them the most expensive thing that I'm doing or that I have.
And then being like, well, okay, that's it. That's enough time today.
I'm like, please come over. See these boots? They're from The Row.
Yeah.
Look at them.
Look at them.
Pretty good, right?
Now
great boots. Now, great to see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Kyle has PK and Dorito. This dinner looked really fun.
Yeah. It was. Everyone was in a good place. Everyone was lolling. It was rainy outside. It was like perfect LA rainy, cozy weather where you just want to go over to someone's house and eat salmon.
Yeah. PK and Mauricio, I feel like, always get high together.
Yeah, Mauricio is never not high.
He's a weed. He might be addicted.
He's checked out.
Yeah.
And that would irritate me.
Dorit's fox eye is...
She pulled the eyes back. Her threads.
They start just talking about Erica, and it's pretty funny. Like, I was laughing at what they were saying.
Yeah, they...
PK's funny.
People thought... And posited based on my salmon comments from previous episodes where I said I stood with Kathy on salmon at dinner parties, like that I didn't want to just eat salmon. They were like, someone was like, I feel like Lara's never really had a good piece of salmon. And to that I say, I definitely have. And this salmon looked good to me.
People say the wildest
and
shit.
And I love that rumor, but I'm here to dispel it, that I actually have had great salmon before.
There's a rumor among the listeners of Sex Unique Podcast that Lara doesn't know good salmon.
That I've never in my entire life had a good piece of salmon, to which I say, actually, I have. Someone had several good pieces.
Someone needs to superimpose you onto the Carrie Bradshaw, like, Sex and the City bus thing, and it says, Lara Marie Jane Halls knows good salmon.
And she isn't afraid to ask. I've made some good salmon, and I've also had it at restaurants. I'm just saying, and if I'm invited over to a Beverly Hills extravagant $50,000 seated Baccarat Crystal dinner, I don't really want to eat salmon, although a piece of salmon sounds delicious to me right now.
Kyle and Dorit start kind of defending Erica, and then Kyle starts... questioning it a little, because they tell the story of like the brain
of just the several insane things that happened over a short period of time that are EJ Global's yarns and tall tales.
And Mauricio and PK, just every new story they hear, they're like, wait, what? And they start cracking up, and at one point they start dying because Dorit's like, well, in the hospital Tom's brain was injured, but they opted to work on his ankle because that was more important or something. And then they started laughing because they're like, wait, he has a brain injury from being basically in a coma for 12 hours, but they choose to operate on his ankle. And then they're like, what, is he gonna play soccer?
He's not an athlete.
Yeah,
PK gets, he's a 79-year-old lawyer, but don't focus on the brain, focus on the ankle.
Yeah,
this was a really good combo. And then PK also brings up, he goes, I'm not a statistician. And he goes, statistician.
Yeah.
He goes, this, that. I'm not that. But what are the statistics that they would be in multiple rolled car accidents in the same year? And I was like, great point.
Also,
is this The Sopranos?
Dorit goes, as unbelievable as her stories will be, I still choose to believe her.
I was love like, that for you.
Okay. But the thing that Kyle goes, once I hear Mauricio talking about it and PK talking about how weird it is, then I start to think, am I way off base? And I was just like, so it takes some dudes to be like, yeah.
Sometimes it takes a dude to just like break it down.
Yeah.
I've been in situations like that where it's like, I think something and then someone's like,
No, what I agree. Fuck? No, but it's like, she's been in this situation for months now, and she hasn't once been like, until Maurizio went, whoa, that's weird. And then,
she's like, is it?
And I loved her monologue. It got me to thinking.
I couldn't help but wonder, is it weird what Erica's doing?
Yeah.
They've changed their tunes, especially Dorit, who went from like, her life is nothing like we thought, like, what the fuck, to being like, I choose to believe her.
I choose to believe her.
I'm like, Erica should write, she has like fairy tales.
Erica is
the Brothers Grimm.
Erica is Tírnanog. She is fully living in an Irish Celtic fairy tale.
She's Beowulf.
Fairy.
She's Canterbury Tales at this point.
A.E.
She is...
Erica Jane.
Erica. Erica.
Erica. She's A.E.
Erica.
R.I.K.A.
Yeah, she's... Dante. Like, this is like Dante's Inferno.
She's out of her fucking gourd. I'm sorry. This is like... To think that people are supposed to buy... All of this happening. No.
What could possibly happen on the reunion?
It's like she's living in like Lemony Snicket's series of unfortunate events. Erica is Lemony Snicket.
She is Lemony Snicket. She's Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
Just spinning yarns.
Spinning yarns.
And tails. She's Rumpelstiltskin.
So they're getting ready for Dorit's big event. And then Crystal calls Kyle and she asks her if she wants her to fast with.
Crystal's getting glammed up from a masked, faceless servant, being like, isn't this great? It's just so in love. And every few episodes, it's some servant plebeian tending to the elite and like putting their makeup on. Yeah. And then the woman going, isn't this magical just to get glammed up and like all dolled up? It's so fun, isn't it? And they have to go,
yeah, it's so fun. Yes. Thank you so much.
And this looks so good.
It's getting weird.
Shit's getting fucking weird.
It's getting weird.
If your mask is off, their mask should fucking be off.
I agree.
So then her servant agrees.
And then Crystal goes...
She's like, good, no lashes for you today.
And then Crystal goes, do you want to go on a fast with me? And Kyle goes, no.
No.
I was like, Crystal.
Crystal, Jesus Christ, honey. Read the room. You can't like come out with...
You can't ask someone to fast with them over FaceTime.
You can't spill the beans about like your battles with eating disorder. I mean, you can do this. Please spill the beans. She goes, but you can't like be like, oh, I've suffered from like very disordered eating, like blah, blah, blah. And then like a few weeks later be like, so do you want to do a fast with me? It's like, no, bitch, I don't want to fast and I don't want you to fast.
Yeah.
So like, let's not fast.
Let's go out to dinner.
Also, why are you saying that?
Yeah.
Therapy.
Rinna is getting ready and she goes, Harry Hamlin's making an appearance. I think I'm really, really excited.
I was too. I forgot about hot Harry Hamlin.
God, his voice.
Oh, I just love him. Yeah. Dorit's party is gearing up and you know what? I'm liking what I see as she's getting ready. I love all of this.
She's putting it down.
Yeah.
Erica FaceTimes Kyle from the car and she goes, I'm serving villainess. I was like,
honey,
she is towing the line.
EJ Global at it again.
EJ Global's wearing red leopard print
and a red lip
and a bold red lip. And she goes, ah, we both have red lip
and just a ring, like a binder ring with hair on it. I was not well after
I was like,
seeing that.
Are you in Mad Max? Like, she looked like someone that lives in like the dystopian.
She looked like Queen Amidala.
Yes.
Like, please don't attach a binder ring Mm-mm. of mane to my pony tail. Like, don't do that.
No, it was dark.
It's fine. I'm down for like adorning hair with like rings and jewels and stuff, but like a binder, like, no.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird. Crystal and Rob arrive.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob orders a martini and PK is lurking about. I kind of love PK.
I do too.
Here's my truth, is I kind of want a PK husband.
He's fun.
He's funny.
And he's honest about his
being a flop. Kind of like a fat slob, which I enjoy.
But he's kind of cute.
But it's also kind of cute. And then it's just like, and he's charming. And I think
he's so charming.
He's charming, and Dorit is charmed by him. She's like, what is on your thing? And he's like, oh, it's a wine spill. It's just like, I'm charmed by that kind of dynamic.
I'm decidedly tickled by PK.
What's happened to us?
I don't know. He's just honest about his... He's in a flop era, and he's honest
funny.
About it.
And he's funny. And they live in their weird farmhouse, and it's just working for me.
PK goes to Rob, I have to eat something. I can't eat a martini until I eat something.
I'm not allowed a martini until I've eaten.
I'll be so drunk.
I'll stop talking shit.
And Rob's like, oh, me too.
Rob has very like Hollywood schmoozer energy. Mm-hmm. Like when he was like, oh, well, I was just like,
general meeting jargon.
It was a general joke.
It was a general joke.
It was networking. And yep. I have a bad chill thinking about that. Then EJ Global struts in with her binder ring ponytail swinging back and forth.
She goes, ah! She's like Cheetah in Wonder Woman. She's Kristen Wiig as that terrifying Cheetah woman.
I don't even know what that is, but I'm laughing at just a Cheetah woman.
Kathy arrives with her ghoulish gay architect.
Yeah, Jesse.
Which I was like...
She was like... I wanted to bring you because I knew you'd like the architecture here, which I couldn't tell if that was like a dig or if it was like real.
I think it's a dig.
She's like, you've got to see this new kind of house that's popping up, because these houses are all over Los Angeles, by the way.
Come to Dorit's house. You got to see this shit.
You got to see this farmhouse shit.
I just wrote Lynn is always alone.
Who?
Rinna.
Yeah, just like
she always arrives alone.
Mm-hmm. It's a power move.
Yeah.
I love arriving separately as a couple.
No, I think it's great. It's something that I always notice, and it makes me respect her, because she's always like, she's never, because some people, like all these women are, when at these parties, they arrive with their...
with a gay or with their husband or like a girlfriend. But it's a true sign of confidence if you can just roll up somewhere solo.
Rinna, yeah, she looked good tonight.
Yeah.
I like the long hair.
Garcelle gathers everyone together, and then waiting for the big reveal, she goes, Dorit. Oh, yeah. Did I say Garcelle?
Well, Kathy goes, oh, she's like, there's something behind those white curtains in the windows. And then all of a sudden, Dorit, they lower, and it's a bunch of women in bridal gowns.
She goes, 3, 2, 1. And they rip the curtain off, and all the models are standing there.
It looked
great.
It was cinema.
I thought that they were going to make them stand outside the whole time that everyone was eating. And I was like, that's crazy. But then they didn't.
And they weren't wearing masks, thank God.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know what? It was a moment.
They had a fashion show kicking off with Dorit's daughter in a flower girl outfit that was cute. And then one by one, the women strutted out in their dresses.
She goes, this is the Zita.
This is Zita, and she's wearing the princess.
The actress.
The angel. And the pearl wedding dress that we talked the most shit on is probably the most expensive. It's $35,000.
35 grand. Also, all the like fashion mock-ups of Dorit and all the dresses, like the drawings, she looks like a Bratz doll in all of them.
Love. Purposeful. And then huge head, tiny body.
And she goes, and I am wearing the woman.
I like the woman.
I will admit when I was wrong. And
I'm not above saying I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to those I offended. I'm sorry to Dorit. She pulled it off with us.
She just a designer in my book for all eternity.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't be able to afford her dresses. But
I love that they exist.
I love that they exist. And maybe one day she could make a custom dress for me.
Yeah. And I mean, the gowns were great, but I was more impressed by, like, this tight, well-oiled event.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was like, boom, boom, boom. She did it.
It was great.
Hot
Harry Hamlin finally arrives. Ugh.
At one point, him and Rinna duck out into another room, and I'm like, they're going to fuck.
I was just so into it.
He's so hot.
So hot. He comes, sits down. He's going to play Tom Brokaw.
Kathy goes, well, we haven't seen you since we brought COVID to your house. Or Kyle says that.
Yeah. And Lisa's like, talking about how Harry's going to go off and film for a while. And she's like, well, he grows all my food. He feeds me, takes care of me. Like, blah. And I was just like, God, you really hit the jackpot with this guy.
Yeah, he just like, he feeds, he nourishes them with food that he grew with his beautiful hot hands. And like, probably, he probably sings to the plants.
I want PK level lols and honesty and a Harry Hamlin level
sex
and ability.
But Harry's a loller too.
Yeah. They're both top tier husbands in my book.
Yeah. Everyone likes Mauricio, but I think
it goes Harry, PK, Maurice.
But Maurice is a little like empty.
There's something going on.
Something.
Just totally checked out.
Kathy didn't know who Bernie Sanders was. She texted Kyle a photo of Bernie at the inauguration and those like the coat and mittens meme. And she goes, is this Colonel Sanders?
She goes, who is this old man? Is this the elf on a shelf? There's that old man again.
Kathy says, Kathy is not aware of like socialism.
No. That's also made me realize, I was like, I'll bet a lot of really, really wealthy people have no idea who Bernie Sanders is.
And didn't vote.
Like, hasn't even reached their awareness.
And I bet some of these women didn't vote.
Why would they?
Yeah.
No need.
Who's this? Who's this guy? Kyle will know. I'll text her.
I didn't know if he was the Kentucky Fried Chicken guy or what. There's that old man again.
Who is he?
Love. There he is again.
Kathy just sees.
Just being repeatedly haunted by the image of an old man and not knowing who he is, but just being like, okay.
Who's that guy?
I love that. That's truly a picture of American wealth.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
There's that old man again.
There's that old, Kyle will know. She's down with the
what the kids are up to these days.
She'll know. She's young. Kyle, who's this?
Is that the elf on a shelf?
Is that elf on the shelf? She's like, no, that's Bernie Sanders. Oh, Colonel Sanders?
Kentucky Fried Chicken? No. Anyways.
PK is, all the men are gathered outside, like, smoking weed, I think. And PK just is going on about how he lost $2 billion or something.
Yeah, I guess he had a flop real estate deal and then lost a shitload of money.
But hey, he's honest about it.
And he's just trucking forward. And I guess that was in the past and now they're doing better.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a lot of money to lose. And haven't they had like shady financial shit
a little bit? That's one thing that might be a red flag about PK.
Yeah, that's why Harry Hamlin is up here.
Garcelle, they all gather, all the women gather. It's like on the other side of the glass, the guys group and the women group. And then Kyle goes to Garcelle, which I was like, Kyle, did you have to?
They're doing... Now falling right back into that Housewives of Beverly Hills trope where they litigate one statement or a series of statements over and over and over. And normally that pleases me to no end, but this does not please me because it really is like a non-starter.
Kyle was like, well, you said some things today that people were talking about to Garcelle. And Garcelle was like, what? And she goes... And then we realized Garcelle went on Ellen that was hosted by Mario Lopez. And he asked her how it was in the season filming with the women. And Garcelle was like, well, I got to be honest. I feel like they're all coming after me.
But I'm coming after them too, or something like that.
I just wrote Garcelle. She's just too honest for this crew, I think. She's honest. Like, she just says how she's feeling. And I think it's not, these women don't do that.
Yeah, they are playing a different game.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, she gets it. She's like, she's playing the right. But then I'm like, she might be too honest for this show.
Yeah, or just, I love her. I want her to stay on it. Same. I think that they have like a sense of loyalty to each other when it comes to like the press, or they try and keep things a lot more tight. They're way more image conscious, so then when someone steps outside of that invisible boundary
it's very
goes
mob.
Against the grain, it's like a whole affront to the other ladies. Whereas like on New York or any other housewives, even New Jersey, they're just like righteous cunts to each other 24/7.
They're always going to the press. I mean, I think that's why Lisa Vanderpump was sort of excommunicated, was because she was such a...
Well, she was going to the press and then also lying about it.
No, totally. But like, I think she...
She played that game, tried to play both sides as shadily as possible. And like, Garcelle's not even... That's not even a shady thing to say. It's no, just she was, like, this is what's happening.
She was like, okay, Mario Lopez, I'll tell you what's happening.
And then they like took that and then brought it up on some random website that like sensationalized it. Yeah. I'm like, it's really not that big of a deal. But everyone...
Dorit.
Just can't... There, Dorit gets set off again. She goes, I speak four languages. And Garcelle goes, good for you.
Yeah, she goes,
well, that doesn't make sense in any of them.
Yeah, I love that. Good for you. And then Erica calls over from the table to Garcelle and she goes, are you okay over there? Or how is it over there in French? And then Garcelle said, not good, girl, in French.
And then Rinna and EJ Global are just kind of off to the side observing. And Rinna, EJ's like... Should we go over there? Should you go over there and break it up? And Rinna's like, no, she can fend for herself. Where's Harry? And like, she's done.
Yeah.
And then everyone's just arguing back and forth and saying Garcelle. It's so weird because she is honest, but then they tell her that she isn't honest.
They're gaslighting her.
Yeah. And they're like, and Dorit's like, please just be honest to my face. I just need you to tell the truth to my face. And she goes, "What? You want me to be honest? Do you want me to say, my God, will you shut up?" And I was laughing. Yeah. Like,
And then Dorit goes, yes, I would welcome that. I would welcome that. And then Kyle goes, I tell her to shut up all the time.
Like, okay. I think they're just mad that Garcelle gets more attention than they do.
Yeah.
And she's hotter than them.
Erica goes to Lisa, I think you need to go over there and chop some heads. I'm like, okay, villainess.
Yeah.
And then Harry is outside with the guys. And at one point, I feel like... I just had this observation where I was like, I feel like Harry's more comfortable around women. He seems like a... Because he's
a
like...
girl's guy.
Girl's dad. I feel like he's just... He seems a little weird with the guys. Not in like a gay way.
He's just not like... He's very different than the rest of the guys. Mm-hmm. He's sensitive. He's an actor.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them are doing business deals and real estate.
Cigars.
Yeah.
Smoking weed.
I really wish that Muhammad Hadid was on the show.
He should be a housewife.
He did have, I think his ex-fiance was on some E! Show about like second wives or something like that. But then they're... engagement broke off, but I would just love to know more about like his real estate development drama, because that's been like, it's such an ongoing thing in the news.
Confirmation that Bella Hadid is vaccinated.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
No, I saw it last night.
Yeah.
There's a photo. She was like, for all those interested, because all the Nicki Minaj stuff is like, I think people are
really starting
coming forward to be like, no, I'm vaccinated.
I've checked out. I don't give a shit if you are or not. Would prefer it if you are, but if you're not,
come to our show.
Loot me the fuck out. Guys.
Guys, we love you.
We love you so much. We're going to be in LA.
Next week.
Tuesday.
5 days.
September 21st. Come to the Roxy. You won't regret it. We have a really fun show planned. Then we're heading off to SLC, where we're going to perform an intimate evening.
Yeah, dinner theater style.
Dinner theater with Sex Unique Podcast, except there is no dinner. You're on your own.
We're not paying for that.
Then off to Chicago, where we have a doubleheader.
Sold out night one. Night two almost sold out. Get
in it.
It's
going to be...
Get your tickets in Chicago.
So fun. So I can't good. Wait. We are recording LA... and SLC, and we'll be releasing those as episodes. Chicago, we're not recording. All bets are fucking off. It's truly, you have to be there.
You have to be there, and so if you want to be part of this, get a ticket.
Yeah,
for night
and we
two.
Have really fun shows planned for Chicago. So, guys, you know what to do. Go to LarsMarie.com, and there are links to every ticket sale, place.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends and come see us and laugh with us.
Follow Laura at Lars Marie.
Follow Carrie at eCarrieO.
Ta-ta.
Bye.